Well, it's good to be back. Always enjoy it. Always enjoy worshiping with you, hearing your pastor preach outstanding messages of the grace of God in Christ. It just lifts my soul, and the Lord uses them. And being with you back in the physical fellowship is always good. It's always a shot in the arm for me. So it's good to be back. And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11 there that Brother Terry read. He told me when I come out, he said he read over these verses today, and he said he wondered where I was going with this. And I thought, well, the best way to tell you where I'm going is to where I start out talking about where I come from on this. And the title of the message, and I'm basically going to focus on verse 1, but the rest of those verses that he read are just right in line with it. It's all, if you understand the meaning, the key that is set forth in verse 1, you understand the rest of these verses. And the title of the message is A False Balance and a Just Weight. A False Balance and a Just Weight. And what got me onto this passage and other passages, and there's so many that you could choose from, is in our local newspaper in Albany, once a week they have a religious writer who writes in the op-ed section. And a couple of about 3 weeks ago, he had an article about comparing the Psalms in the Bible to the quote Christian unquote songs today, and how different they are. And he mentioned a top 20 of Christian music. I didn't know there was a top 20, but if I'd say the top 20 in the Bible, I'd say, well, maybe the first 20 Psalms, and then the rest of them are on top too. But he said the main difference that he saw between what people call Christian music today, and you know as well as I do that there's very little that's truly Christian about it. It's mostly just romance and poetry that's designed to make people feel better, but it's not anything glorifying to the Lord and identifying Him and distinguishing Him as He should be identified and distinguished in the Word preached and the Word sung, like what we sung tonight. And he said the main difference that he sees in the Psalms of the Bible that's missing in these so-called Christian songs is the justice of God. And I thought, you know, he's got some insight. Now, if you read the rest of his article, you know he really doesn't understand what he even said. But he's right. Often when you read the Psalms, you know how they, and you know this was not in the written in the original manuscripts. You know, you have Psalm, like Psalm 130, one of my favorites. And often you'll have words written underneath that tells you a Psalm of David or a Psalm of Asaph. And sometimes they'll give you more information. You'll see the word maskil, or some people pronounce it mashil. But that word means judgment. That's what it means. And you see it all through the Psalms. The justice of God. Now, in today's modern Christianity, it's love and feeling better and all of that. But the justice of God is totally thrown away because people don't want to hear about God being a just God. But one of the things that we see all through the Bible, and even in the Psalms, when I think about Psalm 85, which is another one of my favorites, he speaks of mercy and truth have met together. He speaks of righteousness and peace have met together, or have kissed each other. He speaks of righteousness out of the earth, which is referring to Christ. And what it's showing us there in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is that without God's justice being satisfied, there is no mercy. Without God's righteousness being established, there is no peace with God. And that's the case. God is a just God and a Savior. And that led me to this passage here. Look at verse 1. A false balance, if you have a concordance, it may say something like this: balances of deceit or deception. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. Now, the word abomination is something else. An abomination is something that's always connected to idolatry, blasphemy, something that the Lord hates. You know, the Bible speaks of the abomination of desolation. That's something that's connected with idolatry, blasphemy, misrepresenting God. And then it says, but a just weight is his delight. Now, if you have a concordance, look here and see what it says, a just weight. You know what? The literal translation would be a perfect stone. Now, do you know anything about a perfect stone? Now, you ladies, you might have a diamond on. You might think that's a perfect stone, but that's not what he's talking about. You know who the perfect stone is, don't you? That's Christ. You read it. He's the stone. And that's where I want us to go today. The Bible says a lot. Just turn just a few pages over here. We're just in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 20. Listen to this. Now, you know, when we talk about false religion, we could say a lot about it. But I sort of like to get everything down to its simplest common denominator. And if I let me give you just a couple of things that is common to all false religion, even false Christianity. And number one is this: that false religion will make whatever they call salvation always conditioned on sinners at some stage, to some degree, in some way. But God's way of salvation doesn't do that. God's way of salvation is salvation conditioned on Christ alone, and that He fulfilled all those conditions and secured the salvation of His people. I love that passage in Isaiah 9 when it talks about the government is upon His shoulder. That's the government of the kingdom of God. That's the government of the covenant of grace. It's on His shoulders, not on your shoulders. If it were, it'd fail. If it was on my shoulders, it would fail. The only assurance of salvation that we can have based upon us doing anything is the assurance of failure. But in Him who is our surety. Now that's assurance. That's peace, isn't it? That's comfort. And that's why the Scripture tells us that we're to walk and run in this Christian life, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. It is finished. You talked about that this morning. And so, that's false religion. The second thing that's common to all false religion, and again, even false Christianity, is they will always judge holiness, righteousness, goodness on a sliding scale. It's always that way. Somebody says, well, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but, you know, I'm getting better, you know. This idea of progressive holiness and progressive saints, always on a sliding scale. And it's always how we compare to one another, you know. It's like a fellow told me one time, he said, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as some people. Well, that's okay, and I'm glad he's not as bad as some people, but that's not going to do him good in the eyes of a holy God who cannot even look upon and accept sin. Look at Proverbs 20. Look at verse 9. It says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Now, who can say that? You know, there are people who do say that. That may shock you, but they do. But I can't say that. You can't say that. And then he says in verse 10, diverse weights. That's various weights and diverse measures. Now that diverse weight is a stone and a stone. And the reference there is to the stones that they used in commerce to weigh things in order to see if it evened out and they charged the right price or they got the right value of the thing. It had to balance out. And so when you think about what Proverbs 11:1 says, that when it talks about a false balance, and a just way. Think about the scales of justice. You know that statue of the blind woman holding out the scales of justice. And it's got to balance out. Got to balance out. But look what he says here. Diverse weights. This is Proverbs 20:10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. God hates a false balance, an unjust weight. He says in verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You know, a lot of people, they refer to passages like 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it talks about God's going to judge the works, you know, whether it be good or bad. That's not God judging sinners. It's not God judging us by our works. It's God judging the works themselves, whether or not they're the product, the fruit of God's power and grace, or they're the product of sinful flesh. And you know what makes the difference there? How do I stand with Christ? Am I washed in His blood? Am I clothed in His righteousness? Or am I on my own? Because to be on your own is not going to balance out. You can mark it. And he says in verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Oh my goodness, look at that. Isn't that a gift of God? If you can see the spiritual thing, if you've got spiritual eyes, Christ told his disciples, blessed are your eyes. How blessed are you? You see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The hearing ear. I always loved that passage when the Lord was walking on the road to Emmaus, and those fellows, when they said their hearts burned within them because they were hearing things that just met their need, filled their hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Is that the way you feel? Is that the way I feel? Burning for the Word of God. That's what you're here tonight. You're here to hear the Word of God, to glorify God. Well, look over at verse 21 right across the page of Proverbs 20. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. In other words, out of time. And he says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, all of this is keyed upon this issue of the balance. And back here in Proverbs 11, there's basically five things that we can take from this to understand it. And here's the first thing. The scales that he's speaking of, look at it again, Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God's judgments are always according to truth. And he delights in his truth. Now, the Bible says he delights to show mercy. Aren't you glad that God delights to show mercy? You know why? Because the mercy that God shows is honoring to him. The mercy that God shows does not deny, challenge, or confuse his justice. It shows him to be both a just God and what? A Savior. Somebody said, well, you talk about that all the time. Well, that's the first message that the Lord, I was sitting back here right in front of where Paul's sitting, Paul and Lisa. And that's the first message I heard Brother Mahan preach from Isaiah 45 that the Lord got my attention. I just got it. I told my mother, I said, I've never heard anything like that before. And I was a second year seminary student. Never heard it. But that just got a hold of me. But here's the first thing he says. The scales here, these balances, are used for weighing people in judgment. He's not weighing things, materials, groceries. He's weighing people. And that's where we need to bring this down to. How do I stand before God? What is a false balance? Well, it's one that does not measure properly or righteously, justly. No justice. What is a just weight? Well, that's one that measures properly or righteously. justice. You know what the Bible talks about the word iniquity? One of the many words that describes our sin. The English understanding of that, I think a lot of people, they'll translate it transgression, and that's okay. Because it's all sin, isn't it? It all falls short of the standard of glory of God. But the English understanding of that is inequity. In other words, it doesn't level out. It doesn't balance. It's not equal to what God requires. And that's another thing about God, false religion. People really don't understand what God requires. And like me, when I was lost in my sin, spiritually dead, when I heard a preacher tell me what God really requires, the first thing I shot up in my mind, that's not fair. Well, what does God require? He requires righteousness. He requires perfection. And He has nothing to do with being fair. That's who God is. He cannot require anything less as to the ground of salvation because of who He is. That's His nature. For God to require and accept less as to the ground of salvation would be to deny Himself. So He's talking about measuring people here, judging people. Here's the second thing. God is the one who's doing the weighing. You're not the one. I'm not the one. The preacher's not the one. The denomination's not the one. The society's not the one. God's the one who's doing the judging here. He's the one who's weighing with the scales. The balance itself, it can be the Word of God. What does God say about this issue? His word of justice. His word of righteousness. That's why the gospel is called the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. That's knowledge revealed to faith. That's knowledge believed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at Proverbs 16. Look at verse 9. Proverbs 16. And here's another passage that shows that same idea. Verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way. Now that's true, isn't it? But what does the Bible say about our hearts? They're deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Above all things. But the Lord directeth his steps. If you want to know about this issue of salvation and being made right with God and walking in righteousness, what does God say? That's the issue. And he says in verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. He doesn't make a wrong judgment. Whenever God judges, it is right. If God condemns the wicked, he does it in a right way. If God justifies the ungodly, he does it in a right way. That verse out of Proverbs 17 that so many use today, saying that those who justify the wicked and those who condemn the just are an abomination to the God. And they go from there and they say, well, now, see, God can't do that. Now, hold on. You better go back to the gospel. Man cannot do it. You know why man cannot justify the ungodly and condemn how he can't justify the wicked and condemn the just? Because he can't do it in a way that honors justice. But I know one who can and did. God can. And he does it through his Son. The Lord, our righteousness. That's how he does it. So he says here in verse 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. If there is a just weight in this matter, it's God's. And all the weights of the bag are His work. All the stones that are in that bag that He puts on that scale are His work, not your work. Verse 12, it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness, justice. So God's the one who does the weighing. The stones are His. The stone is His. This stone, I read this, just looking up a little history, usually the stone that they used was a limestone weight of 2 shekels. That would be 4 ounces each, about 8 ounces. And one has been discovered by archaeologists at the base of the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And that weight connects to commerce in biblical times and reminds us of the Bible's concern for justice and fairness. Think about it. Diverse weights. A stone and a stone. Stones crafted by man, weights and measures of their own invention that make them look good in their own eyes, is nothing more than self-righteousness. That's what false religion does. That's what denominationalism does in false Christianity. They set up their own standard, their own weights, their own stones. But what does it say here? These stones, the right stones, they belong to the King. They belong to God. It's God alone who is the source of salvation. It's God alone who is the source of the gospel, the source of righteousness. The Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." He's the one who forgives our sins on a just ground. He's the one who declares us righteous in His sight on a just ground. And that's no fake. That's no lie. That's no pretense. That's God. Think about that. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Now, who is this stone, this perfect stone? Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Look at verse 13 of Isaiah 8. Excuse me. Now, you know this is Isaiah's prophecy, and he's talking about Christ. Look at verse 13. "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread, and He shall be for a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Now you know that's speaking of Christ. And look over at Isaiah 28. Now here's another prophecy of Christ. Of course, the whole book of Isaiah is a prophecy of Christ. It. Verse 16, Isaiah 28:16. He says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone," and this is a tried stone, that is a tested stone, "a precious cornerstone." You know, the cornerstone is that stone laid in the building by which everything was to be measured. And then it says, "a sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies." That's what an unjust weight is. That's what these stones that man makes. It's a refuge of lies. It's salvation that is not by the sovereign grace of Almighty God, who chose His people before the foundation of the world, wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, set up Christ to be their surety, their substitute, their redeemer, their life giver, their preserver, their intercessor, their glorifier. And it says, "And the water shall overflow the hiding place." Now, one more. Turn to Romans 9 in the New Testament. You see how all this connects together to show the absolute sovereign justice of God in saving His people and in damning the wicked. He's just as righteous in the damnation of the wicked as He is in the salvation of sinners. You know, He's talking about Israel here, which followed not after the law of righteousness. They followed after the law of righteousness. They were trying to keep the law in order to make themselves righteous. But they didn't make it. They didn't reach the standard. The scales didn't balance out. They had an unjust weight. And it says in verse 32, wherefore? That means why. Why didn't they make it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now, what does it mean to seek righteousness by faith? It's to seek it God's way in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our believing that makes us righteous, folks. It's the one in whom we believe that makes us righteous. And he says, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That stone is a person. I love what Brother Jim preached this morning. The glorious person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh without sin. What a person. But that's the kind of person it took to save sinners like you and me. He had to be both God and man in one person. And then what did he do on that cross? He didn't die to make me and you savable. He didn't die for everybody just to put us in a position that if we would cooperate, we could enjoy the benefits of it. No, no, no. If that were the case, we'd all be lost. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Fallen in Adam, born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, dead, depraved. You know that when Terry read that Proverbs 11, you used that word naughtiness. You know that's you know what that means? That means depravity. That means depraved. But he says here, that stone of stumbling. That's what the natural man does. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Well, what this is all saying is only the righteousness of God's Son, who is that perfect stone, is acceptable to God. He's the stone. Anything less is an abomination to God. And that's what he says here in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's God who weighs with the scales and balances of justice. It's God who makes the judgment as to whether the scales are balanced. And it's God who crafts the stones of His purse. And the stone by which God weighs His people is the perfect righteousness of His Son. The perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ and nowhere else. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 17, you don't have to turn there. Paul preaching on Mars Hill to a bunch of Greek philosophers and religionists who don't know God. They have the unknown God. You remember, he said, I'm going to preach to the God you don't know. And he told him about the God of creation, the God of providence, the God who is sovereign, and the God who brings salvation to his people. And he told him, he said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And verse 31 says, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ is the standard. Here's the third thing. In ourselves, by our works, none of us can balance the scales. Think about a king named Belshazzar. That's in Daniel chapter 5. His father had destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and brought some of the vessels of the temple over to Babylon with the Jews. And he allowed the Jews to keep them up to a while. And then he died and Belshazzar took over. And Belshazzar was holding a big party for all of his nobles one night. And they ran out of glasses to pour the wine in. So Belshazzar commissioned his soldiers to go get those vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. Those things which were sacred and holy, in that God had told the Israelites to make them for one specific use. And that's for the work in the temple. He said, bring them over and we'll drink out of them. And they went on with their party. They were having a big time. You remember what happened? There appeared a hand, and that hand began to write on the wall You remember what he wrote? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. What does it mean? Hey, well, none of the king's philosophers or diviners could understand it, but they brought in Daniel. And Daniel said, well, king, here's what it means. It means this. You're found, you're weighed in the balance, and you're found wanting, lacking. That's what it said. Well, let me tell you something. By nature, based on our works, we're all weighed in the balance and found wanting. The best of us, the worst of us, and everybody in between. That's our state by nature. Fallen in Adam. The best we can do is not good enough. At any time. None good, no not one. None righteous, no not one. None that seeketh after God. You know it. So here's the fourth thing. In salvation, our one and only hope is to be found before God in Christ. That's it. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but death and hell. That's what Paul said. He talked about it. He said, oh, that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, to do what He came to do. It's finished. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, which we receive by faith. That's our salvation. Washed in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? What can wash away my sin? I tell people my two favorite hymns. First one, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And my second one is, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. The reason I can have such assurance of my hope is because the Word of God says it. This is the foundation. Christ is our foundation. And then lastly, beware of any way, any proposed way of salvation that does not balance the scales. You know that's what a false gospel is? A false gospel is a false balance. Think about those false preachers in Matthew 7. When they stood before the Lord, and he said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but they which do the will of my Father. And what is the will of his Father? Is to believe on his Son, whom he has sent. Many will say unto me, he said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Here's the scales. Christ is the measure of the weight. Let's put my preaching on that other side. Is that going to balance it out? Even if I preach the truth, is that what's going to balance it out? No. No. Prophesied in thy name. Cast out demons. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? I've never done that I know of. I've preached to a lot of demons, but put that on the scale. Is that going to balance it out? Done many wonderful works. Is that going to balance the scale? No, that's an unjust weight. That's a false balance. That's what false religion is. How are we going to balance out the scale? I'll tell you how. Plead Christ. He's really got to be on both sides of that scale. One side representing the justice of God. The other side representing His people. He's my surety. He's my substitute. He's my security. He's my redeemer. He's my intercessor. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. That's who balances the scale for me. You understand? Now, by nature, people don't like the way of God's judgment. They prefer to make up their own ways, to craft their own stones. They prefer to make up their own stones and their own balances by which to compare themselves. But my friend, that won't do. That may look good to your friends and your family, but it won't do in God's sight. That's what this little verse in Proverbs, that's where it's going to. False balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight, a perfect stone, a perfect Christ, a perfect Savior, a perfect righteousness, a perfect, perfect purging away of all my sins. That's the only way that these scales will balance. Okay, Brother Jim.